It's time for The Drive on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Glacier Garage, a local show for gearheads, car lovers, and those who just want to learn more about anything with four wheels. And now, The Drive on KFAR Radio.
See, anyway, so I stop in Nana, go to the bathroom, I jump out of the truck, and I run up to the door of the gas station. I pull the doors open, and if you guys have been in the gas station, you know, you go in the door, and then there's like six or seven stairs. You got to go up, you know. I get to the stairs, and there is like a little kiosk thing right there with gloves and masks and hand sanitizer. And there is a lady at the top of those stairs. I don't have a mask on or anything. I'm just going to use the restroom. And she came unglued on me. I mean, ran me out of there. And I just remember I pissed in the parking lot, got the truck, and it was just like, man, what a weird, weird time.
Yeah. No, like the, what would you call that? The polarization of beliefs.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Was so insane to me.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I fell into it for about 2 weeks. I gave it about a solid week or two where I was like, oh, I don't want to get sick. You know, what if, and like, I have really bad lungs.
Yeah.
Me
so
too,
I was just like, oh, no, man, if I, you know, if it attacks my lungs, then man, I could die. After the 2 weeks, I was like, this is retarded.
I had to sit down with my wife, right? You know, we got a lot of stuff going on. And I remember telling her, I'm like, hey, you know, we need to make sure we got all of our life insurance stuff, you know, in order and, you know, tracking. And because what if something happens to me? I'm like, you're going to have to deal with all this. And then, two or three weeks, and it was finally like, okay, this is a joke.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
Well, how did you get it early on?
So I'm going to say this. I don't believe in COVID. I know COVID is real. I don't believe it is as crazy as they said it was. I refused.
It's basically a flu variant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But do you remember seeing all the propaganda and videos like before it even hit the U.S. of people just falling over dead in the streets, like bleeding out every pore, like this is going to be the plague, and it's just like,
well, I still think we all got sick. Like everybody in the shop got sick back in like December, you know, and it rolled out in like March, and everybody in the shop was super sick.
Yep.
You know, like, and I was having lung issues, everything.
Same thing happened where I was working.
And I think that was,
the first round of us getting COVID.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, everybody around me that was testing positive. So I know I've had it, but I just refused to test because I didn't want to play into it. And then as, you know, being in charge and trying to be at the shop every day, I didn't want to test and have somebody go, well, you tested positive and you came to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I didn't test, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, that sounds really weird, but that was my mindset.
I mean, it got to the point I would test positive at work and I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not dying from this.
Yeah.
You know, after I got it for the third time or whatever, I was like, different than getting pneumonia.
So now something interesting that I feel like both of our businesses and our industries have felt since COVID, and I don't know if they've returned to normal levels, but parts availability, shipping, all that stuff. Do you feel like that's kind of leveled off? Because, I mean, I still feel like there's way more things back ordered with no ETAs, like, and it's not just, it was electrical parts at first. That was like the big thing. But now it's even like hard parts. Like, man, we can't even get engines.
I just think everybody's using it as an excuse. Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at. All day long.
Like the whole, you know, and this is petty, petty as hell, but the whole McDonald's all day breakfast thing.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, that's the best thing on the planet.
Or Walmart now not being open 24 hours.
24
hour
Walmart. Like, come on. It's like, oh, well, ever since COVID, it's like, okay, so people got the flu, and then now we're just going to stop doing all-day breakfast at McDonald's? Like,
well,
we're just done now?
So, I mean, let me be devil's advocate on that. I feel like there was enough time gone by changing hours and changing menu options.
They got used to it.
Well, they got used to it, but then there wasn't a decline in money because all these companies are money-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not going to make less money by stopping their staff from having to make different items, they're not going to do it. And if they don't have to be open 24 hours a day and hire somebody to staff those locations for 24 hours, and there's not a huge detriment to their financials, they're not going to run them.
Well, I think there's another thing, too. And like, so we had some employees that, I don't want to say took advantage of COVID, but, you know, they would get sick and then they'd be out for 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, I got a quarantine.
There's nothing you can
do. We had one that was a horrible offender and whatever. I think part of the problem that we're not going to rebound to that point is because there was a lack of leniency that came across on for business owners, managers. You had to take that phone call from the guy, have him say, oh, yeah, I tested positive for COVID, so I'll be back in a week.
Yeah.
And all you could say was,
okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And it I think it washed across all industries. But then it created like a bit of, I don't want to call it laziness amongst workers, but it did. It everybody got soft. And we're not coming back from that.
We're not. And I think one thing too that we've talked about it a bunch, you know, and I don't think a lot of people put in this perspective of there was an older generation of workers. And when COVID rolled out, a lot of those people said, well, whatever, I'm done, I'm going to retire now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had all those baby boomer hard workers, and then they were like, well, I guess this is it for me. I'm just going to hang it up now. So we lost a big portion of the workforce, you know, and then we're stuck now with the generation, you know, that is what it is now, where mm-hmm. it is that lax of they're used to, hey, well, you know, I can just call out whenever. What are they going to do, fire me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then you look at the young kids now that were 5 years ago, they were just coming out of high school. The kids were hiring currently. Mm-hmm. They were just coming out of high school when COVID hit. They got to sit at home. There was no expectation to go work or do anything.
Same with school.
So,
they didn't have to go to school, you know?
So they didn't get that final molding as entering adulthood, and they're wrecked. These kids are, it's impressive how bad these kids are at anything.
We hired a kid that had never swept in his life.
Yeah.
Never pushed a broom.
Yeah.
And you ever watch somebody that's a grown person push a broom and they've never
taught? How does this thing work?
How to push a broom? It was the most depressing thing I've ever watched in my life.
You're talking about Jordan, right?
No, wasn't it that one
kid? The other kid that was shoveling.
That couldn't shovel. Yeah, but it was upstairs. I thought
that was Jordan.
Was that Jordan?
You're like, hey, man, you got to use the other end.
Well, oh, dude, no, here's how it goes, right? So my business partner at the time was still in town. And this might have been right before COVID.
It might have been.
But still. Anyway, my business partner had hired this young kid, kind of like, he's going to be like a lot boy porter, you know. And we're doing our 5S project at the shop, which is where we clean and paint and, you know, sift through all stuff, clean up. And anyway, Tim hires this kid, and he's like, yeah. So he sends this kid upstairs to sweep our break room. And I go upstairs, and this kid's up there and doesn't know how to use a broom. And it was so embarrassing. I couldn't even deal with the kid. I couldn't look him in his eyes. All I could do was walk back downstairs. I walked into my business partner's office, and I said, you need to go upstairs and deal with that. That is your problem. And then I just moved on. That kid ended up not being too bad off.
No, I mean, but he at least could take criticism.
Yeah.
Direction.
Yeah. We had another kid, though, that couldn't, and he was shoveling outside, and I'm kidding you not, he's taking the shovel, and he's putting it in the snow, and then he's taking his foot and kicking the end of the shovel and just trying to push the snow out. Like, and he told Jared, because we went out there and was like, what are you doing? He tells her, well, if my back starts hurting, can I take a break? And Jared was like, if you want to come take a break, you can take a break in my office.
So then
he was dead serious.
I sent him across the street to shovel off in front of the other shop, directly across the street. And I look over there, and he's got the shovel, one of those aluminum scoop shovels. And he's got the handle in his right hand. It's a T-handle, you know. And he's got it right in his groin.
Mm.
And he is pushing the shovel across the parking lot with his hips.
Yeah.
And I had to walk over there and tell him, look, if I ever see you use a shovel like that again in my life, I will fire you on the spot. That is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
I just want to let you know that that's how I shovel my driveway when I'm about an hour and a half into it.
Yeah, when you're tapped out. Yeah. I don't think
he
came back the next day, though.
Definitely, no, yeah.
I don't think he did.
I think that was his last day he worked.
No. Yeah, I don't even remember that kid's name. Goofy little kid, but
he had that Mustang.
Yeah, that's right.
That makes sense.
No, I think coming out of COVID,
V6, you know?
These kids lost that huge chunk of the final mold, and we're trying to deal with them right now. And the kids that are going to be better for companies are going to be the kids that are behind them that are in that, I wouldn't say, the 13 to 14 age range right now, because we're kind of back to normal, and they'll get to finish off high school in a normal fashion, and they'll have to prep themselves for the real world. They have to go get jobs. This generation we're working with right now, they lost everything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So just an experience I had talking about COVID and just like weird habits of people and like jobs, essential workers. So you could still get DoorDash.
Yeah.
I remember how upset I got sitting outside my doctor's office trying to get, because I get chronic pneumonia, I just need an inhaler and I need some antibiotics. Yeah. And so I have to go be seen, but because I have symptoms
during COVID,
like COVID,
yeah.
No,
so yeah, I had the same problem.
And so I'm sitting outside a doctor's office, who shall remain nameless, and I watch several DoorDash drivers drive up, wait, and then these nurses, doctors, whoever, walk out, grab this food from a stranger's car, and go right into the doctor's office. I'm like,
And you're you're dying in the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm like, well, how is that clean? How is that considered clean?
The whole thing was a joke. You had to wear the chin diaper to go into the restaurant, but then you can take it right off. And
right,
your
food, exactly.
Like nothing's wrong. And then, but you got to put, you stand up, you better put that back on.
Yeah. Or Maui. You could be on the beach, no mask. Mm-hmm. But the second you stepped off the beach onto the grass, you better put that bad boy back on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where did this stuff come from? Or you couldn't go to the bar. You couldn't go to the restaurant. Like,
mm-hmm.
Or excuse me.
Couldn't get your hair cut.
Or after 9 o'clock. There was a curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what?
COVID
went to bed early.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's wild.
No, I had the same problem because I get chronic pneumonia. And, yeah, then, you know, it would be, well, they wouldn't even want to give me an X-ray. They would just start treating it right away like it was COVID. And I'm like, dude, I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I please just, nope. And then, you know, they're just charging me more. You know, because you get more money from that COVID than you're getting pneumonia.
And it was the same thing with, like, deaths, right?
Mm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone that died of COVID because mm-hmm. there was some...
It was a complication from COVID, at least, was what they said.
Yeah. You'd get some sort of kickback on the back end if you had X.
Tell you, pneumonia almost killed me more times than COVID ever did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever even got it. Like, maybe I did, maybe I did. I have no idea. I don't remember being sick during that time and being like, I've got it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever got it or if I didn't. But
I remember right before, like, the U.S. had the meltdown about COVID, I was in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching on the news that it was breaking out over there. And I remember asking my wife, I'm like, oh, if something breaks out in China,
mm-hmm.
how long does it take for it to circle the Earth? I mean, it's going to make it everywhere eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I never found the answer to that question, but it was just weird having seen it over there and then coming back to Alaska, and then it was only a month or two.
January, I think, is when it broke out there, and it was March.
Yeah.
It was spring, right after spring break, I remember.
I guess unless they're like that village where they're just, borders are shut down, no one's coming in, no one's going out. Maybe
it was going to go no matter what, though. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as deadly as everyone thought. So, I mean, like,
Oh, no. Remember they had refrigerator trailers, you know, in New York City. They were stuffing all the bodies in, you know. It was bad.
Yeah.
The Drive. We'll be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it, at a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money. That's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
How do you get the smoke? Best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to The Drive on KFAR Radio.
Do you have any masks in here?
Weird time to live in.
This is a small room.
Mm-hmm. It is. Community airspace.
I always
respect it.
What always killed me was the plexiglass.
Oh, yeah.
Going to GCR, walking in there.
Well, that's
the hang-down plexiglass. I was like, okay, it can't go here, but, you know, it can't go underneath this, but, you know.
Well, that was to block the spittles, I think.
Yes. You know? Yeah, because I don't know if was COVID actually airborne, or it, I think it had to be physically from like spit something on a surface.
I think it was airborne.
I don't know. I do know, you know, definitely surfaces because they were coming out and like talking about how long it would last.
Yeah.
Oh, we went through some bleach at the shop. I'll tell you about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
We were bleaching everything every night.
Yeah.
You'd have a customer come and go, and then you'd be all like bleaching the counter, yep. You know.
Oh, no. When I worked at the dealership, we had the same thing. Little plastic guards up, had to be masked up with clients. Couldn't go on test drives with them. You had to just set them free into the wild.
Oh, that's really cool, man. That's
and
cool.
That was a trip. Like, you know, like we train our sales guys, like, nope, you do a walk around like this, you land them in a passenger seat, you hop in and you go. And so now we're just like, here's the keys.
Have fun.
Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, we talked about this off recording, but we were all considered essential employees and worked all through COVID.
Yeah.
No, so, like I said, that was probably the busiest I'd ever been at work. I mean, I was working on the body side and paint side. So I'd go over there and, you know, fix a vehicle and put it across the aisle and paint it and put it back together. I mean, I was working 12-hour days, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I came out of the office, was doing repairs, just trying to get stuff fed over the paint department, and just trying to stay on top of it because we got busier. I mean, our workload, there were two problems. We had people that were out for quarantine, so that kind of backlogged us a little bit, so we had that work built up. And then business itself was really, really good during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gave people that opportunity, too, that if they did get into a wreck, they didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So they would wreck the car and be like, well, I guess it's a good time to get it fixed.
Yeah, just let me know when you're done.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I didn't really even think about it that way. It's like they didn't have anything to do.
Yeah, you know, where before, if you're busy, you'd be like, you know, I can ignore that bumper damage or that fender damage, you know, and deal with it another time.
So auto repair and body repair was booming, but how was sales?
Sales, so I was lucky. From the dealership perspective, we had a huge used car department, and I wouldn't say new, but I was still pretty new to like the position of running a used car department. And I had just went super heavy to the point that my boss was like, I don't know why we just ordered all of these old rentals and like all these cars. And I just bought all the deals, and there was deals. So I bought a bunch. So like, luckily our dealership, once there was new car shortages, we were one of the only spots with inventory, and it was all used.
But the price point was low. It was still slinging.
Yeah, well, even stuff that, like, you could get at a decent price just skyrocketed in value the first 6 months, which, I mean, their used inventory over there doesn't last 6 months.
You're right. I forgot, like, the whole car market, like,
crazy.
Your fifth-gen Camaro. Like, I mean, I was, you know, just stuff was doubling.
No, I bought a fifth-gen ZL1 for $29,000 with, like, 3,000 miles on it, and drove it for 3 months and sold it for 40. And that was a deal on that car.
Yeah.
Because, values just skyrocketed. It was insane. So it's like...
And I think another thing, people had more money during COVID. Everybody was being stimulated. Everybody was getting money.
Especially people that didn't work.
Yeah, they were making
though.
More sitting on the couch than they were actually working.
Working, yeah. And especially if you had kids involved, you know, had a household, all that. You know, I knew guys, like my dad worked with this guy, and he was an operator, and the guy was sitting on his couch because he was the head of household and had like four kids. He's bringing home like $3,000, you know, every like 2 weeks or whatever. He's like, it's the same as I make if I go to work, so I work.
Yeah. I don't know what was, because we didn't really dabble with it. I don't know what was really available to the people who continued to work as far as assistance.
I rented to someone, and I know she was able to get. She had three kids. They provided her with new tablets. They provided payments for activities. So, like, because they're being homeschooled. Getting the tablets. They're getting funding for ice skating, for all these other activities. And again, like a decent amount of money to just stay home.
Yeah.
And it was just mind-blowing to me. I'm like, you're making... With all of these, I don't know if you call them stipends, what you would call them from the government to like subsidize that, but she was making as much, if not more, than me at the time. And I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm like, how? But again, you know, it comes down to I would rather just go to work.
Yeah.
There's no way I was going to just sit at home for that whole thing. I would have gone insane.
Dude, I remember back in the day, like filing unemployment during winters, you know, or for Denali Fence, and it'd be. Kill yourself all summer and file unemployment during wintertime. And that, I mean, I'd go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd literally make me go crazy. So I'd look at these people and I'm like, you're doing this for months.
We rode a lot more back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it was easy to go to the mountains. But.
The struggle, too, is like, you know, again, going back to that polarization of beliefs, you had people who really thought you were going to kill them.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I was definitely, like, maybe had the benefit because I'm a big guy. People didn't say anything to me at Safeway. But, like, I was definitely that guy that people were, like, whispering about to their partners. Because, like,
he's the guy.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm not masking up.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not because I want to cause anybody harm. It's because I don't believe there's any harm.
Yeah.
And it's like, I, you know, felt like everybody who got the shot, you know, I'm like, you guys are Russian roulette right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's now been shown. It's like, yeah. Like, I wish you all the best of luck.
No, I mean, I tell people all the time, I did, you know, because of chronic pneumonia.
Yeah, you had some bad underlying
things. Super, like, I wasn't so worried about it. My ex-wife was very, like, she went and got it, and I was like, Trevor, please, you know, you got to do this. I want you to get this. And I'm like, I don't know. And finally, I was like, well, whatever, man. If I get in and it kills me, whatever, you know, like, my value of life at the moment wasn't something I really cared. So I was like, well, whatever. If I get in, I die, or if I get the shot and I die, it is what it is. But, you know, I got it, and I got the, I can't remember what brand, like Moderna, I think. And, you know, I do feel like there probably are some underlying, you know, some of the issues that I have experienced now in the last couple of years. I could probably, I mean,
tribute
if I looked
to,
up. Yeah, I mean, if I looked up the stuff that's going on and how I physically feel, you could probably put it towards that vaccine, you know. How much of it's real, who knows? I mean, I'm always those, not a person that wears a tinfoil hat or anything, but I'm like, if it causes me to have issues, it is what it is. It's too late now. Yeah. Do I wish I
what
could go back
me
and not
out
do
is
it?
That, like, you know, whenever they had those showings of like, look, it's safe, and then it's like, that syringe was empty.
Yeah,
you didn't even put it in his arm. What do you?
Well, look at Biden, man. Biden was actually like halfway smart before he got the vaccine.
they were sneaking some other stuff into his vaccines. Yeah. Little dum-dum juice over here. Yeah.
You actually had an interesting experience, though. You drove through Canada. You drove from Florida.
I did too. During COVID.
Oh, on the way back.
Yeah,
I did. That was wild.
72 hours to make it through Canada.
Well, yeah, and I think again that was just a scam. You're checking in, and they're like, "Yeah, you have 72 hours to get through Canada." It's like, okay, yeah, no, if we do 10, 12 hour days of driving, we can make it. And they're like, "Where do you plan on staying?" And we're like, in our car.
Yeah.
It's COVID.
They wanted you to anyway.
So they're like, oh, no, there, you can't stay in your car. And we're like, what do you mean? They're like, you can't wash your hands. That's not sanitary. I was like, but it's just me. I'm all alone, quarantined in my car, sleeping. Like, I had gear. I had everything I needed to, like, eat, sustain. Like, I am going to enter and exit your country, and you're never going to even know I'm there.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you can't do that. You have to check into hotels every single night and get a room. And they're like, and before you even leave customs right here on this end, we need all of your reservation codes for where you're staying. Wow. We need it because we're going to call and check.
So when did you go through?
2020.
Okay.
October.
Because I went in 2019 and they wouldn't let us stay at hotels.
Yeah.
They told us we weren't allowed.
No, they were telling me we had to, and we had to have them all booked, give them our reservation numbers because they were going to call and check.
Because they wanted money.
Did he check in today? And if not, they're going to send the cops.
Yeah, I guarantee it's revenue for that.
And that's exactly what it was. They were all hurting through COVID.
Exactly, because when I went, it was the beginning of it, and they were, I mean, I had to have Jared print out a fake letter because my best friend is moving back. From Maine, so we drove from Maine to Montana. I met
it was
him
a real fake letter for the record,
100% not fake.
Yeah.
It was real.
We had to get a letterhead saying that, you know, he was going to come work for the company and that I was, you know, we were essential. We had to make it back to work, and we got to the border. I remember they made us sit there for like 8 hours. They didn't search anything, didn't go through anything we had.
Same.
We just had to sit there, and then they let us through. And I just couldn't believe. I mean, like every 8 hours, I'm getting a phone call. Where are you at? How far have you made it? Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were like, do not stop other than for fuel. Do not stop and get food. Do not stop at hotels. And you got 72 hours. And I was like, you know, I was trying to power through anyway, so I didn't care. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whatever, man. Yeah, I remember we got a phone call. And we were in British Columbia. And they're like, oh, well, you know, you should be about right here. Where are you at? And I'm like, we're in British Columbia. She's like, oh, okay. I guess that's fine. I'm like, fine, you know. I was like, yeah, we've been tag teaming driving, so you know, if someone's sleeping, someone's driving, we're not stopping.
Yeah, and that was all of our that was our plan to power through. But yeah, they if they're gonna let someone in their country, they're gonna get something. They wanted that dough.
And I think when I went, they were starting off, so they probably weren't having that revenue problem yet.
But yeah,
probably when you went, they were like,
search us, didn't do it. It was just it was all about the money, and it just
the worst part is we got and my buddy. He, this was like a 2004 Tacoma extended cab, or it was a, extended cab. And I mean, it's packed to the brim. And then he bought this enclosed trailer. He's pulling in a dude everywhere. It was embarrassing. We're pulling up to places that thing's just reaching the sky. I mean, way overweight. Mm-hmm. The thing, I mean, going downhill, we could maybe hit 60. I mean, it was rough. But we get all the way through Destruction Bay, everything. And they'd give us this letter, you know, when you hit the border, hand them this letter. And, you know, it lets the Border Patrol know that you made it through. So we drive all the way to the American border. I hand him that paper. And he goes, nah, dude, you got to hand that to the Canadian border. And I was like,
we did the same thing.
I was like, you are kidding. You know, that section, that 30 miles is just the worst. So I was like, can we at least drop the trailer? And he's like, well, you can drop it there. But if something happens to it, it's on you guys. And I was like... Otherwise, you know, because it took us like an hour and a half to get through there. So we dropped that trailer, hauled back, and then I go walking up with those two letters, and there's a guard out there like checking some cars, and he comes unhinged on me. I mean, gun out. Hey, don't you? And I'm like, I'm just trying to give you these letters,
no
man.
No way.
And he comes up, grabs them. All right, you can get out of here. But they're like, if you don't go back and give that, you're never going to be allowed in Canada again, and we're going to you can be fined up to 100.
I don't even have to tell my story.
That's the same story.
Same thing happened
to you. That is insane. Yeah, you're given the little golden ticket. Hey, make sure you give this to the board on the other side so we can check you off, and we know you got out.
Got out, yep.
So we go to the Canadian border. It's a ghost town. It looks locked up, looks closed. We keep on trucking. We get to the American border, hand this piece of paper. Very militant dude. What the hell is this? This is the paper we're supposed to give you. I don't want that. I don't know what this is. Okay,
read that bottom line.
Yeah,
right here.
So whatever. So then we just keep trucking. We get to Toke.
Oh my God! Ooh. You went all the way to Toke?
We went all the way to Toke, and we're like,
oh my God,
sitting there, and I'm like, I feel like we really need to give this to somebody.
Yeah.
We start making phone calls. We get someone on the phone, and she's lighting us up. You did not give that piece of. Are you out of your mind? She was gonna. She was like trying to arrest us when we were already in the U.S.
Oh my God!
She's like, "You're gonna come back here and give us that piece of paper, or you will. You'll be blacklisted from the. You'll never be allowed in our country ever again." So we're like, "This is. Can I mail it? Like, I'm on the phone in Toke. Yeah. I got out.
Don't worry
about it. I'm here.
You know."
So it's like, "No, you have to. You have to." So we're like, "Bro, we've been on the road for like 13 days." Now I gotta unhitch my trailer, dude. We're doing like 120,
and that ain't a short drive from Toke to the border.
120 miles an hour, pinned. So we're pissed. They're pissed. We come ripping into their embassy thing.
Yeah.
Roll in, throw it in park. Same. Came out, guns. Get on the ground, screaming at us because we parked in the spot that apparently was like
the semi
out of their camera view. God. Yeah, guns out, ready to light us up over this piece of paper. I'm just like, dude.
I did the same thing. I'm like, can we mail it? And the guy's like, well, look, I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to bring it to him, but I'll tell you right now, you're never going to be allowed again, and it's a fine up to $100,000.
That's the first time I've ever heard that happen to anybody else. Oh, yeah. So now it makes me wonder how many people were they just strong.
They had told me when I pulled up, he was like, yes, see that car you just passed? They just did the same thing.
So it happened a lot.
A lot.
Yes.
A lot.
Because they didn't didn't say on there that you had to give it to the Canadian border. You know, I was like, oh, well, we have to give it to where we're going to get back into the U.S., you know? And
but
that's
if it's happening once an hour, then they know why people are coming back. Why are they coming out guns drawn ready to kill you over it?
No, yeah, and that's what, you know, I pulled up and they have, like, the spot for big trucks, you know, semi. So I was like, oh, we'll pull over here and then I'll walk inside. And I pulled over, and I mean, he was checking a semi and just beelined it at me. Yeah. I was like, what's going on, you know? And then, oh, yeah, tripping. I'm like, don't just got these letters,
like,
man.
It's like, how many terrorists do you have trying to get into Canada? Like, nobody gives a...
No. Like, I'm like, cares? Especially right there, too. I'm like...
You could have the loosest border ever, and your country would be the same.
Yeah. Oh, COVID.
Yep, COVID. I think we might have just given it way too much time. More time than it deserves, you know? I mean, funny stories, but...
Yeah, that's fair.
COVID's such a mess.
You've been listening to The Drive on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. The Drive is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.